From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty without me. I said,
my next guest, the first time I saw him, I was watching a YouTube channel. He was correctly describing the cancer of socialism in America. He fights tirelessly to try and stop it. He is and has been the deputy director of Heartland Socialism Research Center since 2023. He's also the host of Heartland's In the Tank podcast. He is Donald Kendall. How are you, Donald?
I am doing wonderful. How are you doing today, good sir?
Well, you're going to aggravate the dung out of me, aren't you? You see, but I'm used to it because I've always known what these fracking rats are. And I'll tell you how I knew. I used to play golf. You wouldn't know it, but I was okay at it. And a friend of mine said, we're going to go play with these guys from Chicago. And it was a money game. I said, all right. So I didn't meet the guy. He looked like he just got done loading ice up a three-story tenement. Big, bulky guy. And we were playing, and he's clearly cheating. He's in the woods. He's hacking away. Ball comes flying out. You know, what'd you get? Give me a four. I told my buddy, I said, is this guy cheating? He goes, well, I don't know. He buried more people in heart attacks in the 90s. I think he'll cheat on a golf game. That's kind of what we're dealing with when we talk about voting in these rats who profit from policy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And all the policies that we've put in place, or all the rules that we've changed around our elections in the past several years, if not longer than that, has just made this problem even worse. So, I think we've seen a number of results now from polls that we've done with Rasmussen showing the rampant cheating in our elections. And the poll that I want to talk to you about with you today is shows that we're probably in for the same sort of thing in the upcoming 2024 election.
That's why I don't get excited about it. I tell everybody, he won. My guy, my candidate, Donald Trump, won in 2020, yet here we are. And all they had to do was lie, cheat, and steal on one night. Ballot harvesting, mail-in ballots. Of course they cheat. This is how they get the paid off. Their policies, the welfare, the insanity that's bankrupting our nation. So your poll reveals, this is almost phenomenal, that they're going to take a poll. 3 in 10 scallywags admit they'll cheat in the upcoming election?
Right, right. So if you recall correctly, I was on your show back in December of last year, and we had done a poll asking people about their voting habits in 2020 in relation to mail-in ballots. And we found in that poll, I think it was 1 in 5, somewhere around the 20% mark, admitted that they voted improperly. You know, you can call it fraud, you can call it whatever. And while that was a big story, it went viral, it was got a lot of attention, stirred up a lot of intrigue around the idea of mass mail-in balloting. We had a lot of people, especially on our side of the aisle, that were skeptical of the results.
Yeah.
As you would expect, right? So what we did this time was we tried to get as perfect of a number as possible, you know, like so that there's no criticism that could be leveled. So we asked people a series of questions about the upcoming election, how they would handle it if they're planning on mail-in balloting, whether or not they would have somebody fill in the ballot for them, or whether or not they would fill out a ballot for a family member or a friend or anything like that. And we had a larger sample size. We made sure to have all of the, you know, the people that responded to the ballot or responded to the poll that seemed like they weren't, you know, they were just pressing numbers on the poll, whatever, exclude all of those results. And the number was still 28%. Like we were expecting maybe 10%. You know, again, we're always underestimating these poll results. It came out at 28%. And the worst part about it is the poll that we did a few months back that showed all of this big issue in the 2020 election, basically nothing was done about that. And now we're showing that the same thing is going to happen next time. So it's unbelievable to me that we're going to be marching into this next election with the same problems that we observed in the 2020 election.
This is why I came to the conclusion years ago. There is a certain cachet among thieves in Democrat-run areas. They enjoy the openness of the stealing. They really do. In Chicago, it's a very well-known fact that the 1960 presidential election was stolen. The dailies were neck deep in it, those morphodites, meatheads that they are. All of their cohorts. When I was young, we'd go to, you know, I made my money honestly. We'd go to Rush Street and I'd watch these corrupt political whores walk around like they were accomplishing something. They liked the fact that they were stealing. So, I mean, this is just, I think this is low. I'm shocked it isn't 70%. And when you see the fact that in 2008, Barack Obama, Yes We Can, Hope and Change, the ignited candidacy of Barack Obama generated 16 million less votes than this morphodite got. I mean, the real number is, will it be over or under 100 million that they'll need to fraud to stop Donald Trump? To me, you know, there are people out there that promote just overwhelm them with our numbers. You can't do that in an electoral system. You just have honest run areas against mafia run areas, right?
Yeah, you know, that one's kind of a tough one. You know, I would love it if it's, you know, if they're going to resort to cheating, let's make them have to cheat as hard as possible. But, you know, the one thing that, like, so I've done a couple of interviews on these poll results, and a thing that has popped up numerous times now is this idea of this call for, like, a voter ID. A voter ID. And it's like, there's been this idea that's been going around for a while, and I have to stop these interviewers and say, we're so far from that being a solution to the problem, because of you having to have a voter ID isn't going to stop somebody for filling out somebody else's mail-in ballot.
Exactly.
Like, we need to like bring our laws back to where they were pre-COVID before a voter ID is even a viable solution. So like, we're so far, we're getting worse and worse when it comes to election integrity. It's just gotten worse over the last 5 years. And yeah, we really need to do something about it as a country here.
The precedent of how elections are to be handled by state legislatures has been circumvented. They normalized the fact that these corrupt lawyers, these slip and fall scumbags in state areas, can circumvent the voice of the republic in state legislators. And this is something that I was shocked at, because you saw it happen in these key areas. And there's been nothing to remove that. And in fact, what happens is what always happens. Good people do good things. So the well-run honest state said, we're not waiting for any government and the Fed. We're going to shore it up. So states like Florida, states like Texas, they shored it up. But that's not what won the election for the dimwit in diapers. It was Democrat stronghold mafia areas. And you're never going to out-cheat a cheat. This is the main thing. If you're not going to go forward with technology, you can't beat it with the old way. They perfected stealing it over the last 200 years, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that you and I had the very similar reactions on the election night in 2020 when, you know, it was funny because I was watching the Vegas odds. That's the metric that I was watching, and they were starting to pay out early for Trump winning the upset, right? The upset vote, and then all of a sudden, a certain time of the night, you saw the chart invert just like I did.
Well, they shut it down.
And then what did we have to do? We just had to sit there and pretend like there was nothing, you know, wrong about that. And if you said anything that there was something fishy about it, you were shut down on social media, the narratives were put in place, and all of that. And that's the biggest thing I loved about our initial poll back in December, is that it just was proof that you could talk about this and not be part of some conspiracy, because now we have hard evidence showing that this mail-in ballot scheme is facilitating widespread cheating across the country.
Well, and you have now, on top of it all, the mafia has shored up the bureaucracies of intimidation and extortion. So you see the corrupt Justice Department led by Ferret Face Garland, who magically has $50 million no one can explain to me. You have an FBI. You have the fact that they are fully capable of intimidating and moving forward on the absence of justice, which means if we protest again, they're going to double down and quadruple what they did on January 6th. So it's really just riding the Soviet system into the dirt and hoping that good states can overwhelm bad states. And I'm wondering, you've had the move of secession by foot over the last 3.5 years. Are there any real statistics on how many people are still going to put forward a fight in these legacy Democrat mafia-controlled areas? Or have they shored up their hold the way it has happened in Illinois, where that corruption in Cook County has now spread to where they just want to fight for farm bill corruption?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what happens in this upcoming election. I know there's certain surveying and polling that's been going on, obviously, that happens before every election. But I'm very curious to see what happens this time because, you know, along with all the things that you were just listing off, they're also keeping the opposition party candidate in a courtroom. 4 or 5 days a week where he can't campaign? This is absolutely a voter interference that's going on, election interference that's going on. But I think that's also waking people up on the other side that's realizing that, he's stuck in court over what? I think that this is just, one side that's like politically targeting the other side. That's what it seems like. And I do think, and maybe this is all anecdotal, but I do think there's a lot of people that are opening their eyes to that idea.
Well, the fact of the matter is there are a lot of people leaving New York because they realize the entire judicial system is completely politically influenced. And that's something I'd be interested in seeing a poll of. How many Americans across the country recognize the judicial corruption in Democrat-run mafia states? You know, Chicago is the greatest example of it, not just because they have two sitting Cook County judges that are investors on a Table of Wisdom LLC with convicted Ed Burke, but because the PPP money that was stolen from court workers, state workers inside these judicial systems. And you realize that was nothing compared to New York, which almost had more than Chicago. And you see the normalization of corruption in these judicial areas in Chicago, in New York, in New Jersey, even in Atlanta, where in the county with Fat Fanny and the corrupt prosecutor. So what I want to know is if people are recognizing, look, I cannot afford, because I'm not in the Democrat mafia, to live in Democrat counties anymore. I'd really like to know what exactly is the count of American citizens that have fled, and has the replacement theory of illegals worked the way the Democrat mafia drew out?
Right. And it would also be interesting to kind of filter those results through the idea that the people that are staying back and living in that situation are being subsidized by some form of government, one or the other. But I think that, like, what's going on just nationwide is a complete increasing distrust in all of our institutions, whether it's the media or the justice system, education system, just you name it, the elections, all of that. And I'm not saying that as a good thing. Maybe a lot of that's deserved, but our country is built on a trust of these institutions. Well, and lately it's just been run into the ground one after the other, and almost as if it was intentionally done. And that's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. And I think that all of these things need to be turned around so that we can sustain a civilized society. And the elections, I think, is just a very easy one to target first, because everyone talks about wanting free and fair elections and all of that. The left is running on this idea of trying to protect democracy. And I say, yes, let's protect democracy, not in the, against the things that you're accusing as being the threat of democracy, but let's do so by actually having a legitimate election system that's built on integrity. How's that for a start?
Well, I don't know how you're going to get there, because you have the H.A. or what is Mayorkas? He is in charge of Homeland Security and the rest of it, correct? And he was the former board member of HIAS. It's well documented. HIAS is an NGO that's ironically funded by the government that was handing out pamphlets informing illegal aliens how to cheat in the upcoming elections. And it's a story that has been squashed and muted by the mainstream media. So this is something that we talk about on this station, and so-called opposition to corruption talks about, but it's something that the elected officials of the Republican Party, the Mike Johnsons, ignored and still don't mention. So when you see the bipartisan corruption in protecting Secretary Mayorkas, that is what I find to be completely disheartening. So I'm wondering, Has there been any talk of support by getting rid of the corrupt Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and his supporters? Have you done any information? Is there any information that Heartland has done on that shattering story of Secretary Mayorkas being a board member of HIAS and instructing illegal aliens how to vote illegally?
Yeah, I mean, it is something that that we've probably talked about on the In the Tank podcast. And, you know, the Heartland Institute doesn't shy away from kind of looking at, you know, the Republican side of the aisle. You know, there's plenty of, you know, you call them what you want, you know, Republicans in name only, especially when it comes to just buying into the whole climate alarmism and all of that. So there certainly isn't any shortage of potential, you know, ideological opponents on our side. But, you know, just the election in integrity, it's just like I said, this has been getting worse over the last 5 years, right? Yeah. And the way that they got all of this through the door was under the scare of COVID, the pandemic, and all of that. I haven't seen anyone wearing a mask in my parts in a long time. Nobody even cares about COVID anymore. Well, so what is the justification for leaving all of this mail-in ballot stuff in place? Well, I don't know what it is.
That's what I mean. The Democrats, this is what I saw in Chicago. Chicago normalized a word that has the admission, not just an innuendo, called clout. Clout is something that every Chicagoan can tell you. And what that is sway or power with the government mafia. And it's the same thing that happened in Ukraine after the fall of the former Soviet Union, or happened in the Soviet Union when it was the Soviet Union. People can adapt to political corruption if they feel they're benefiting from it. So you now have tens of millions of new voters, whether they're legal or illegal, doesn't matter, in Democrat-run sewers. They promote it from Mount High when you have Secretary Mayorkas assisting them in the cheat. So now you have zero integrity. So what the real question is are you going to wait? Because it will not be a secession movement that what happened in the Civil War. It'll just be good people leaving what used to be good areas and are now third world ghettos like Chicago. So that's ultimately where we're going. The question is, how many people that are trapped there that are going to stay and try to pretend that they can win a fight when Republicans like Mike Johnson are insulating the corruption? That's the question. So I think it's you're better off moving to Louisiana and throwing that crooked rat out, because they obviously have a Republican stronghold.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and I think a lot of people agree with that, whether or not they realize it or not. I saw a recent report suggesting that Illinois, the entire state, every county in the state, had a population loss over the last year or so. So there certainly is a, you know, we're talking about voter integrity. People are voting. They're just voting with their feet. And I think that's probably the most accurate voting that we can count out there.
Well, I also think that's what you have to tell people to do. There is no Lone Ranger. Nobody's coming to save you. They cheated 4 years ago. There is nothing that has been done in Democrat strongholds to stop the cheat again. And you can't out-cheat a cheater. I know a lot of guys went broke in corrupt gambling houses to try and prove it. So ultimately, we're going to have to admit to ourselves, look, you have to take you and your future and get the hell out of these Democrat strongholds, because they're running on corruption. As Pritzker is going on Sunday shows talking about lying. After everything he's done is a lie, his entire platform on COVID, the reaction of COVID, all built on lies and failure. And the problem I also have is even the Republicans stopped talking about the abuse of freedom that happened over the last 4 years in this country.
Yeah, it's we've got quite an uphill battle.
So let me ask you, when you're on stop, where do you personally reside? You don't have to be specific, but give me the state.
Oh, I'm in Illinois. I'm a suburbs. Oh. I've that's where I was born and raised. But I've been progressively moving further and further away from the city as my wallet permits.
Well, you know, I've got to reach out to a couple friends of mine who are in Tennessee, because what's fascinating is you watch the culture of corruption that follows the labor extortion mafia. And I'm curious to see if the UAW is going to do to Tennessee what it did to Michigan. And that's the real question. So that's why I know I give you more and more information, but I get a lot of it on Stopping Socialism TV, where you're constantly working tirelessly. And where else would you prefer that the people follow you?
Yeah. Stopping Socialism TV on YouTube. The Heartland Institute's channel on YouTube also puts out a lot of great content. That one has a lot more climate change-centric stuff, but also Heartland.org.
Did you love the fact that the Kennedys, who are diversified in all of the so-called alternative energies, supported the Dimwit in diapers rather than her own brother? Did you watch that?
I did see that, yes.
Oh, it's fantastic. And can you do me a little research and find out exactly how shallow is the Kennedy gene pool? Do they all have that quivering voice box? They're lobotomizing their kids. It's a real rough family, even though you have billions of corruption to live on, right?
I will look into it for you.
Yeah, please do. I mean, why do they all look the same as well? It's a very peculiar gene pool. It's Short in the Pants Mafia. He is Donald Kendall. I appreciate you making time for me.
Thank you for having me on.